Good afternoon. I am Prem Oli. Currently, I am working at Washington State University, but not at Pullman, but at in Prasar. So there we have a Ag Weather Net program in Prasar, Washington. But this work was actually started while I was there at Auburn University before moving to Washington State. So anyway, so by the low turnout of, it seems that INSO probably is not a big issue in many parts of the world, but certainly, INSO is an issue in the eastern part of this country. So now I'm going to present the effect of INSO. The full form is El Nino Southern Oscillations. Its effects on winter wheat yield in the southeastern USA. So this is my brief outline of presentation. First, I will introduce the topic and then explain about objectives, followed by materials and methods, and then some results and discussions, and finally conclusions. Well, as I said earlier, so winter wheat is a principal field crop in the southeastern USA, and the wheat season actually lies during the period of late fall to late spring. And during this time, actually, the weather conditions or the climate is actually affected by INSO, El Nino Southern Oscillations during this period. And basically, INSO is an ocean atmospheric phenomenon, which is characterized by interannual variability in sea surface temperature, surface pressure, and atmospheric circulation across the equatorial Pacific. INSO has actually three phases: El Nino, La Nina, and neutral. Actually, in the southeast, under El Nino, actually, the weather conditions are a bit cooler and more rainier, or say wetter than the long-term normal climate condition. Whereas during La Nina, the weather conditions, especially during the wheat season or winter, are drier and warmer. Wheat has actually several varieties. So the wheat varieties can be categorized into different classes based on their heading date, like early heading, mid heading, or late heading. And because wheat varieties actually head at different times of year, and the weather condition in the southeast is actually affected by INSO, so one can assume that the maturity groups of winter wheat is actually affected by, maturity group influences the impact of INSO in this region. And the availability of this kind of knowledge might be helpful to wheat growers in this region in minimizing the risk of climate variability in this part of the country, maybe through tailoring crop management like adjusting planting date or variety selections like that. So this study was carried out basically with two objectives. So to explore the INSO effects of early and late heading varieties of winter wheat in the Southeast USA, and specifically to examine the yield difference among the maturity groups of winter wheat for each INSO phase, and also among the INSO phases, and also across locations under each phase group combination. So for this, we took into account five locations: Plains Griffin, Tifton, Plains Griffin, and Calhoun. Calhoun in Georgia, USA. And then for those locations, yield, planting date, and heading date were obtained for a number of wheat varieties grown in this region, during the period of 1975 through 2012, so 30 years of data. Then wheat varieties were then classified according to their heading date into early maturity and late maturity. And for each location maturity group combinations, the data was actually assigned to a specific answer phase. And according to, I mean, the characterized by Japan Meteorological Index, in short, JMA index. And then finally, the yield differences between the two maturity groups and also among the answer phases and also across locations were actually tested using a non-parametric test called Wilcoxon Rank-Sum test, because the assumption of normality was not made for the classical ANOVA test. And these are the results regarding difference between the variety groups. So the left figure actually is about yield kg per hectare for four locations: Callahan, Griffin, Plains, and Tipton. And for three answer phases, El Nino, La Nina, and neutral. And here, red ink, I mean red color represents El Nino, blue La Nina, and green neutral conditions. And this pattern color represents early maturity group, and the solid colors actually indicate late maturity group. So under La Nina, we can see that actually these two letters, these labels actually, so the same letter, I say they are not significantly different, but if the labels are different, then of course there is a significant difference. So the results showed that under La Nina, early varieties actually yielded more than the late in Plains and Tipton. So these two locations are in the southern parts of the region. And this was due to actually heat stress and precipitation availability. The middle figure here, that is figure A actually, is about heat index. So I have just mentioned it, DSI, so it means daytime heat stress index. So I had to actually use these indices to try to explain why, I mean, those kind of phenomena occur. So these are the values on the y-axis, these are the values of heat stress index, starting from zero. And then, so higher the values of heat index, I mean, these values, more the effect of heat, or likelihood of heat. In the x-axis, I have week from, they are the weeks from heading day. For instance, here somewhere here in between 1 and 1, minus 1 and 1, here is somewhere is the heading date of winter wheat. And for instance, this minus 8 is the 8th week prior to heading. And this positive 8 is 8 weeks after heading. And this one, this field marker actually represents late maturity group, and this is unfilled markers indicates early maturity groups. As this figure shows, actually, the heat stress index for the early group was actually lower than that of the late maturity group. The figure on the right, that is figure B, is about precipitation availability index. So this index actually represents not only the amount of precipitation in a particular week, but also the distribution. And then so on the y-axis, so there are PAI index values. So higher the values, more the availability of water in the soil. And then on the x-axis are these heading days, I mean heading weeks from heading. And here, generally, it appears that early maturity groups, the availability of water was higher than that for late. So around heading here, and even before heading. And now, the same figure, but kind of figures, but for El Nino condition. So in this case, actually, late group produced more than the early in the another location. And we can see here. Here, so it's Calhoun and Griffin. These are two northern locations in the region. And this A, I mean, this red color, that is solid color, this is the value is higher, significantly higher than for the early. So late had higher yields than early. Maturity group for the northern locations, this and this, but not for this one. So this was also due to freeze injury and availability of precipitation here. So this is the freeze injury index, and this is the precipitation availability index. So here we can see that for late, the freeze injury was lower, but the availability, water availability for late was higher, around heating date. So for the insurfaces, among the insurfaces, actually La Nina had the largest yields, especially for early group. So this blue line is actually represented by La Nina conditions, and in all locations, La Nina yields were actually significantly higher. So this was because also due to, low heat stress index, low heat stress, and also the water availability around this heading was higher. Now regarding location effects, across the location. So this figure is about the p-values. So that are actually used to test for significance test. So they are, so higher the p-values, lower the the difference is not evident. So lower the pure values, the difference is more and more evident. So there are p-values, and this is latitude for those four locations. For south, ranging from 31 to 35, and this is El Nino is represented by red, and then blue ink represents the liner conditions. As we can see here, for the yield difference between early and late groups actually increased with an increase in latitude. So this was actually due to freeze damage and also due to heat stress. So in the north, the south to north directions, early groups yields increased due to increased freeze damage, whereas the late groups yields increased in the same direction due to decreased heat stress. In case of La Nina, so this is blue line, so the yield difference increased. So this way, from north to south direction, with a decrease in latitude, it was also due to freeze damage. For the early groups, so in the north to south direction, early groups yields increased due to decreased freeze damage, whereas in case of late groups, so late groups yields decreased due to increased heat stress along the north-south direction. So then finally, so my conclusions are that the INSO effect is actually influenced by both variety group and latitude. Under La Nina conditions, early group yielded more than the late group in the southern part, whereas under El Nino condition, late group out-yielded early group in the northern part. So among the INSO phases, La Nina was associated with the largest yields, and under El Nino condition, the yield difference between early and late groups increased with an increase in the latitude, whereas in case of La Nina, the yield difference actually between early and late increased with decrease in latitude. So we especially would like to thank NIFA for the support of the fund, and thank you so much for your attention. And if you have any questions, so please, in addition to asking me here, also please send your comments or questions or whatever to prem.oli@wsu.edu. Thank you.
Predictable season in advance, SST predictions.
Mm-hmm.
So Did anybody try to predict the season in advance based on the sickness,
mm-hmm.
in your place, so that you can give forecast to the farmer?
Yeah.
Okay, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So did anybody try like that to predict it?
Yeah, the question was, how far the INSO is predictable, or maybe how far ahead? Probably this is your question. Yes, actually, several studies are going on currently, and there are actually very reliable methods. So scientists are actually using what's called in the Pacific. Well, this INSO is actually related to the southern oscillation, meaning there are temperature and precipitation anomalies in the Pacific Ocean, and then the link here in the US or maybe in the Southeast, link between those precipitation and those sea surface temperatures like that. And actually scientists are actually being able to forecast INSO at least one year in advance. So especially in the Southeast, especially during the winter. But for summer time it's a bit tricky, but for winter actually the scientists are sure. We have a very good INSO signal, especially during wheat season during the winter.
I missed the part where you were specifying the early El Niño, or the early INSO phases versus the late INSO phases. How did you do that? When did you do that? Specify early or late?
Late varieties? Well, the early or versus late are actually the wheat varieties. And INSO is actually, well, whether it is La Nina or El Nino, actually, it actually varies. It is actually the climate variability. So, when actually we have the El Nino phase, then actually the winters are actually generally, wetter than the normal, wetter or say cooler than the normal. But if the phase is La Niña in the winter, the condition just reverse. So it's warmer than the normal, or maybe the drier than normal. So that's how INSO affects.
And you specify the phase in December?
A prediction of INSO phase?
Yeah, whenever you said...
Yeah, actually, yes. Yeah, well, these phases are actually, for December, actually, at least, they are actually, forecasted about maybe 3-4 months ahead in time. Probably, I'm not sure if I understood your question, but...
What's the frequency of that events? For example, how many years we got El Nino again, or La Nina?
Yeah, well, varies actually. Yeah. Generally, well, it actually ranges from 2 to 7 years.
2 to 7 years?
Yeah, 2 to 7 years. Sometimes it might happen, it might occur just after 2 years.
Okay.
But sometimes, it might take even 7 years.
And the intensity of the events, always the same?
Yeah, no. Even the intensity also differs.
Okay.
So sometimes we have a strong El Nino. Maybe other years we have strong La Niña or strong El Niño like that. So they are actually very. In terms of this this strength, the strength of the signal. They may not be. We may not have a very very confident. Prediction, but at least we know that whether weak or strong. But scientists are actually able to tell us that El Nino or La Nina will occur like that, so even before 6 months, something like that. But definitely, we are not able to tell what exactly, strong will the signal be. No.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, welcome.